Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society has placed limits upon but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, "We know who we are, but not who we will be." I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves back into cells, reforms as a caterpillar, and then it must struggle for its wings to be strong enough to fly. None of that can be easy. None of that can be comfortable. None of that can be something that a caterpillar, if they knew what they were going to have to go through, would look forward to, I wouldn't think. And neither are busting through limits that society places on us. And today, oh my goodness, this young woman who is my guest is doing some amazing things. And she is young. We will get into that in a few minutes. Today I have, you know what? I didn't even ask you how to pronounce it. Is it Alina?
Alina.
Okay. we have only communicated. This is the first time we've communicated where we could actually speak to one another. Everything else has been through email. So I hadn't had a chance to ask her that. So Alina, tell us about yourself a little bit.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you. So I am a senior in New Jersey. I play field hockey, do rock climbing, and do golf. I love reading, and I do not mind a nice bowl of mint chocolate chip ice cream.
That is a very good flavor. I would have to admit to that. So, yes, as I said, you are a young woman. You're not the youngest guest that I've had, but still, the fact that you are doing the things that we are going to talk about, and you are just now a senior in high school, gives me great hope for your future, but also the future of all the lives that you will touch with all the different things that you do. So the main reason that you and I connected, and I think this is what I would like to talk about first, is something called Young Able Voices. So can you tell the audience what that is and kind of how you started it and why you do it?
So Young Able Voices is a peer-to-peer support group for kids and teens with hidden disabilities. And it's in each week I make a video, you know, and I host it. And that would be the topic of for the weekly chat that I do. So it's a little bit of a long story how I started Young Able Voices. So I would try to condense it up as much as I can.
Okay.
So if you have a speech disorder or working on a sound, you go to speech therapy. And I have been to speech therapy since I was about 4 years old till even now. But in middle school, eighth grade year, right before the pandemic, my speech teacher at the time told me I graduated from speech. And this was my dream for a while, to finally graduate speech. Because I had this kind of naive thought that my apraxia would be gone. And for people who do not know what apraxia is, so I have childhood apraxia of speech. It is a neurological speech disorder. So the connection between my brain and mouth aren't always the strongest. So sometimes words come out the way that I don't intend to. Or I have a word recall issue. So I was very excited for the day that I finally graduate speech. And I always thought the day would come in high school, not middle school, so soon. But who am I to say? They were the experts. So COVID happened, and I was about almost a year of my freshman year of high school, and I started a new high school. So no one knew I had a speech disorder. They knew over the years, I heard there were speculations of something. Maybe I was hearing impaired, but no one really knew what I had. And so I started speak up again near the end of my freshman year. And I kind of had this realize. I always thought that if I worked hard enough with my speech, it would just go away. But apraxia is a gift that keeps on giving. And I had to come, it was hard for me to come to terms that I would be living with my apraxia for the rest of my life. I would always be struggling in some way. And so that really got me down. And I didn't realize at the time that I really loved going to speech therapy. And I did like going to speech therapy, but sometimes it, like every kid, it can be tiring or missing gym class. But I didn't realize that speech therapy with hanging out with those people and practicing was the time I could be the truest self of me. The best I could be me.
Right.
They knew that I was struggling. I didn't have struggling. And they were very accepting. And I kind of was missing that community during the pandemic as we were all isolated. And I started a private speak, so it was only one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through that struggling sophomore year and really wanting to talk about what I was feeling, I reached out for support groups. And I thought I would find one really easy because my mom had support groups on Facebook. And I thought, hey, there has to be one for teens or kids, the ones who's going through the apraxia. I sadly could not find any. And I looked on Discord. I looked on other social media platforms. And I couldn't really find a group that really spoke, a support group. So near the end of my sophomore year, I wrote a piece for my school talking about my apraxia, revealing my struggles. And that really helped letting some of the anger and sadness out. So now here comes the funniest part of the story. So spring of my sophomore year, I was going on my first date. And I realized that a half an hour before I had to leave that I cannot say my date's name. My date's name had two R's in it. My nemesis.
Oh.
And I called up my speech therapist, this, and I was like, can you help me say his name? Because I couldn't say, hey, dude, the whole time.
Right.
I contemplated that idea. And we practiced for about 10 minutes. I wasn't perfect at it. I can't say his name now. And I now, and we laugh about it. So as a thank you, my mom sent her my piece that I wrote about apraxia to her. And then she sent it to her colleagues. And then her colleagues sent it to a teacher at my school who had just got recently diagnosed with childhood apraxia of speech. So 2 hours in on my 2 hours later, I get an email from a teacher saying, hey, can we have lunch? And I was like, what? She's talking how she got my piece from the speak place that I went to. I'm like, how do they have my piece? I'm like, oh, thank you, mother.
But that's what happens when we're proud of our kids. We send stuff on and we don't necessarily get your permission ahead of time.
Yeah. But what my mom did was one of the best things she ever did. But so the next day, I had one of the best lunches I ever had. And I was talking to her about my experience with a practice. And I told her the positive stuff I learned, but I also told her some of my struggles. And she was just so thankful. She's thankful to have someone to talk to And that night I came home to my mom and like, why isn't there a place for kids and teens or people to really connect? And that's kind of how I started Young Able Voices. That summer, I made up a website and I tried my best.
Well, I want to let you take a breath because that was a lot of speaking, and I'm so thankful to you for sharing that beautiful story. There was definitely, I feel, some heartache in there with just a few of the things that you talked about. But I do want to pull up your website. And is the piece that you just mentioned, is that in your About Me section?
Yes.
Okay. That was what I was just reading before I came back into the StreamYard to find you here. And so for those of you who just heard what she mentioned, go to her website, and I'm going to pop the website address up on the screen here. It is www.youngablevoices.com. If you go to the About Me section and scroll down just a little bit, you will be able to read this story that she, or this piece that she's talking about. And you were very raw in that piece. And I think not only is it, I mean, obviously it's already helped a bunch of people, but I want people to understand, just as you said, that it's available for anybody to read because it can help so many people to A, not feel alone, B, to have a bit of an understanding of what it's like to have childhood apraxia of speech. It is not something that is very common, although I am hearing more about it as the years go on. As you, anyone who's listening, you have probably heard that, you know, her speech and my speech are a little bit different in the tone and in the fluency. And you mention in the piece that you get very frustrated. And a lot of times people will say to you, what are you saying? I can't understand you. Or worse, and this is the part that always breaks my heart when I see stuff like this, is that they tease you and make you feel less than. Now, I imagine during school that happened a lot, that you were teased and made to feel less than.
Yes.
Does that, well, I say when you were in school, you're still in school, you're still. has that gone away at all, or has it at least lessened since you've been in high school?
So, yes, it did. Like, it has definitely lessened in high school. I barely get any really rude comments, but I do get the I have throughout my year in high school, I have gotten some really harsh comments, not really teasing, maybe not straight to my face. But yes, definitely people have made fun of it or mocked it, but.
And I think that a lot of times that comes from not understanding, you know, like they don't understand why there is this difference about you or not. And I mean, just in general, when there's teasing happening or bullying, if it goes to that extreme, that it comes from a place of, well, I don't know. And rather than try to understand it, I'm just going to make fun of it or make it seem like it's bad. And that's one of the reasons that I have this live stream, is because I'm trying to make people aware of the fact that being different is not less than. It's just different. And when we take the opportunity to get to know people for who they are, those kinds of differences, we sort of tend to forget them. Because it's just, well, this is my friend, or this is my girlfriend or boyfriend or spouse or, you know, family member or whatever the association is. And so I'm hoping that by doing this show and my book that's out and a few other things that I do, that that will stop, that we will someday have a society that sees differences, appreciates the differences, but doesn't make fun of the differences.
Yeah, that would be an amazing society. And I believe one day we will get there, and definitely with the awareness that is happening or planning to happen, definitely.
So tell me about some of the things. So with Young Able Voices, so you have this wonderful website now. So then how does it work?
So each week I make a video, and the video relates to a topic that someone with a hidden disability could relate to. Because the chats are for anyone with any hidden disability. And usually I sometimes go off of what we last talked about, or a question that happened in a last video, or something that's happening in my life. A lot of those videos are stuff that I share, personal stuff, and or during the weekly chats. And then sometimes the weekly chats are a little bit more creative. Like I ask them to write a story about their hidden disability, or what superhero would they be with their hidden disability. Then on Saturday night, the time varies. We talk for about 40 minutes. I haven't done a weekly chat for about a month because of school, colleges. I recently had pneumonia, so.
Oh gosh.
So it's been really hectic in sports, but in 2 weeks, weekly chats, I believe I published it up there, we'll be starting again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
11:27.
Yep. Don't know what the topic will be yet, but I'm
excited. And so I've just pulled up the website and the old ones are here, but how does one join in to these weekly chats?
So up top, you can see the calendar, and you can press on there to select the weekend you want, like the day. So Saturday the 18th, you hit the 18th, and then hit 6:30. And then write down your name, email, and anything else you want me to know. If you're new, or if sometimes I get some funny jokes, or like, hey, could we talk about this next week? And then they schedule, then they get a reminder. I have to update the time for 6:30 because that was for the movie night. Then also one-on-one meetings. Thanks. And it's the same process. Mm-hmm. So I have these times available throughout the day.
And so you had said it's for children and teens. So because as you mentioned, your mom had found a support group, but there wasn't anything for children and teens. So now that you are getting close to technically, or maybe you are already 18, but you're going to be, if you're not already, a technical adult, do you think that you will keep this just for kids and teens, or do you think you'll expand it to adults with hidden disabilities?
That's a really good question. I haven't thought about that yet. I definitely know I am going to continue next year with Young Able Voices. I definitely have gotten requests, a few requests actually, for adults who wanted to join, but they were a little bit older adults, so I recommended them to some support groups that my mom was in. Mm-hmm. I do know I am partnering up with the Apraxia Foundation, and they asked me to host weekly chats for them for just kids and teens with childhood apraxia of speech. And they also are offering, they offer children and teens chats that I will be hosting. Then there will be parent chats. And then there will be adults with childhood apraxia of speech. So, and that, I believe, will be happening for a while. So I will be definitely a part of that and helping out with that. But I don't know. That's a good question. We'll figure it out as it goes on.
Yeah, I'm thinking of different people that I have met since starting Hashtag No Limits. And there are several adults who have been diagnosed as an adult with ADHD or autism. And so I think having a group for them could be very helpful because, as you said, like, the support group for your mom is more probably to help her help you. Yeah. And to help her deal with, you know, the feelings that she has. And it's not specifically the person who has the hidden disability. And I do just want to very quickly, in case anyone who is watching doesn't know what we're talking about when we're talking about using the phrase hidden disabilities, it's your apraxias. It's anything that you, when you see the person, it's not obvious. I mean, that's kind of the basic way to describe it. And it seems to me, and I've not been a person with a hidden disability. Well, I guess I kind of am, because I have had anxiety. But the hidden disabilities, the expectations don't seem to match. They seem to be too high in a lot of cases for the person with the hidden disability. And then the people who have visible disabilities, the expectations tend to be not high enough. Have you experienced that with your childhood apraxia of speech, that people thought you were not as intelligent or as capable because of the way that you spoke?
Yes. So when I was first diagnosed, my mom spoke when I first went to started school, actually, my mom spoke to a expert, and I got evaluated, IQ test, all that, and she told my mom that I basically will be a C student, lower than a C student, for my whole life, like, mm-hmm. in school. And if I tried hard enough, I could probably pull out like a C minus, C plus, maybe. She did not have that much faith. She said that I would never learn to read, because I couldn't master rhyming and do other things. And this broke my mom heart.
Sure.
It's the audacity of someone telling you that your child really not the biggest potential in life. Like
right.
When they are just 5 years old. You know,
right.
I don't get how someone can really make that that claim, really.
And for that to be an expert, you know, this is someone that your mom had gone to seeking advice and opinions and help. And to have that news delivered by an expert is very crushing. And again, hashtag no limits. That's another kind of back reason for doing this, is because exactly what you said, to say to a parent of a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, where your child will probably never blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand, you know, when you have a diagnosis or you have, you know, some assessment results, that you say, okay, these are the assessments results. And based on just this one piece, it appears as though this might happen. However, this is just one piece of the child.
Yeah. Most experts believed always make it seem when you have, and this is, this summer I spoke at the Childhood Epilepsy National Conference. I was the keynote and closing speaker, and I got the opportunity to listen to so many other stories, and so many parents have gotten the same answers that my mom had gotten, and some stories are much worse than mine. Like some schools, like with accommodations, since that's a bad and most of my teachers up to fifth grade, they didn't really have that big of like standards for me. Didn't really have any standards. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I got a 75 on a test that I really studied for or tried my best in. And I was just so crushed. And the teacher was like, why are you so sad about it? And then another teacher, I didn't finish a essay, I needed a little bit more time to finish the essay. And she's like, it's fine. And I'm like, no, I can finish the essay. I just need a little bit more time. And so that I didn't know what the experts told my mom until about a year ago.
Okay.
Because my mom didn't want me to know. See, a few weeks later, my mom was determined to prove those experts wrong. And she gave me the best gifts ever, a gritty mindset. She worked hard with me. She would tell me that I was so smart each day and would help me build my confidence, because definitely you need confidence. Confidence is definitely nice to have when having a hidden disability.
Yes.
And I can't thank her enough for giving me a really gritty mindset.
You're okay.
I always had this, it's a irrational fear, but I always, when I started my new high school, I didn't really want to tell anyone about my epilepsy, because I had this irrational fear that when I tell them, oh, I have childhood epilepsy of speech, and they're like, oh, what is that? And the definition of it is a neurological speech disorder. Mm-hmm. And when people hear the word neurological, they go immediately to intelligence. So
right.
I always afraid that people or teachers would think less than of me. And something I've been practicing on is that I can't decide what people think of me or my intelligence. They would think what they want to think. And that's been an interesting journey.
It is a very difficult place to be, is to try to get the belief in yourself to be so much that you aren't affected by what others say about you. And that's honestly a journey and a battle that I fought until I was in my 20s. And then finally I came to a place in my life where I wasn't bothered so much. And then somewhere around 40 or 45, I went, I really don't care anymore what anyone thinks about me. I'm happy with who I am. God is happy with who I am. And so I'm going to do, you know, the things that I think are pleasing to God and, you know, that aren't harmful to anyone else. And that's all I'm going to worry about. Is it nice when someone says something nice about me or they, you know, they're pleased with me? Sure. But that's, I don't put my value in other people's hands anymore. And the earlier I think that we can learn that, the better off our own mental health will be.
Yes, that's awesome. Yep.
So kudos to you for working on it now. And, you know, it's not an easy journey, but I don't think your life has been an easy journey so far. So I don't think you're going to shy away from, you know, putting your mental health first. And remembering that your value comes from you and God and not from any other human being. And the amazing things that you're doing. I mean, as I said, it's just, I thought you were older based on just the, you know, the little bit of emailing back and forth that we had done. And so when I got your bio for today and it said you were a senior in high school, I thought, oh, this must be an old bio. She's got to be in college now. And so to hear all the great things that you are doing, and I do want to pull your website back up because to those people who had said, you know, you're not going to read or you're not going to do certain things, and I'm going to try to make this a little bit bigger so it's a little bit more readable, you have amazing awards. You have 2 citizenship awards. You have the Athletic Scholar Award for golf, the National Academic Squad for high school field hockey. And I mean, all these, the Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony Award, the St. Lawrence University Book Award. I don't know what all these awards mean or how you qualified for them, but the fact that you have them. And I really love this one, the Persistence and Dedication Award, because just hearing a little bit about your life, I definitely can see that you are a persistent person and you've had to be. And so I hope that you will continue with that persistent attitude about life and continue reaching out to people and helping them. Now, I know when we had talked originally, I'm going to take the website off here, that I had asked you about joining in on one of your sessions or, you know, just so I kind of had an idea about what your sessions were like. And parents are allowed to join in.
Yeah.
But you really didn't want me to join in because, you know, I didn't have a child. And I totally understand that and respect that, the confidentiality piece. So how do the parents, do you get many parents involved in these, or I shouldn't say involved, well, I guess it's involved in these conversations, or is it mostly just that they kind of sit back and just listen and learn?
I don't really know, to be honest, what the parents do in the background. I do get emails from parents with really nice feedback. Usually when a kid's bus starts, I know the parent's there, like the parent sometimes introduces the kid, sometimes if the kid is because it's nerve-wracking.
Sure.
And usually I get that with the younger kids when I do, like, the some... So I have like two different age groups, and we are talking combined, and it also depends on the weekend and stuff. Sometimes more older kids are on than younger, or there's more younger kids than adults or teens. But it's also depending on the time. So when I have a new kid that is a little bit younger, I kind of put the weekly stuff for maybe 6:30, so it would be more younger kids. Mm-hmm. And then I always do something with, like, the teens and stuff if they can't make it. And the parents introduce it. And the parents are usually in the background. I don't really see them. Sometimes I can hear them encouraging their kids, hey, maybe talk about this. But I do sessions for parents, like maybe if every few months I do a Zoom to hear what parents' feedback is, and if they... and give them ideas of what I'm planning to do next, because definitely do not want to go to somewhere that the parents don't. And I encourage parents to listen and stuff. And I love getting the feedback or the amazing comments. I also, over the summer, I hosted two sessions for the parents and the kids. One for, like, my techniques on writing, because it practice, yes, is verbally, but it also comes out in my writing too. Mm-hmm. So some stuff in writing has taken me a while to master and write a essay all by myself.
Sure.
So I definitely learned some techniques and stuff. And then also for another one session for most of my life, my mom has been my voice. She is my go-to person. She and I are very connected. I know how sometimes people are like, this person can, my best friend can finish my sentences. Mm-hmm. My mom can finish my sentences.
Sure.
And it's nothing wrong she's doing. It's because she knows, because if I'm struggling something, she knows what I'm trying to say, and then she says it. And for you, I let her do it because it's more comfortable. But that's something I've been working on, because next year I'm going to be in college, and it's kind of scary thing. I'm going to be talking on my own I go to school and stuff, and I do talk on my own and stuff.
Sure.
But it's a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, I'm not going to be with my mom constantly. I won't be seeing her every single day and stuff.
Right.
And, like, going out to dinner, if I can't say something, she just says it for me. The small little things. And so kind of finding a voice, because it's also frustrating for me sometimes, my mom finishing my sentences.
Sure.
This or talking for me sometimes. And I'm like, I can speak, I can say this. And I have no hate to her at heart.
Right.
But that's what she had to do that when I was younger, because I was... like, at one point in my life, I was only 10% understandable. So she had to.
Right. So do you have any advice, or I should say, what advice would you give to a parent or a teacher who maybe knows someone or has someone in their family that has already been diagnosed with some sort of apraxia, or if they think that their loved one might have apraxia, what would you recommend to them?
I don't know. I think if you think your child has apraxia, probably go to a speech therapy place and get it checked out. I know when I got diagnosed, there was only 2 ways to figure it out, and now there's 10 different ways. So techniques have improved. It's definitely a different age than when I was growing up with apraxia. And it's so weird because I'm still young.
Yes, you are. I'm glad you caught that. You said that.
I'm still young, but 10 years, things were so much different. For teachers, I think just communicating. And it might, like, the child might be a little bit embarrassed, but I think I know I would really appreciate if teachers communicate with me. If I'm, like, struggled in class to get something out or in a hardness, I would really appreciate if teachers put me aside or email me, like, hey, do you want to try to finish your thought? Is everything good? Good and stuff. Just really communicate it and trying to be really, like, not like ignore, like recognizing it's there, and I struggle each class to say something, because it can be very tiring or hard, but and parents, just keep, again, communicating, knowing what is your child asking, what your child is feeling and stuff. Parents, I couldn't have gotten through my apraxia journey without my mom. So I think parents know how to help their kids, and it's just just communicate with them. Keep letting them know it's okay to speak, because I know I fell into the stigma of, oh, it's hidden. I don't really speak about it that much, a little bit. And I always try, I always, and I don't know if other kids do it, but I want to say some do. But I always wanted to make sure my apraxia never defined me. And I always thought that meant ignoring it, pretending it didn't exist. However, that's not defining it. That's pretending it didn't exist. And that wasn't doing me any good. And I realized not letting my apraxia define me is like accepting it. Accepting it's there. And yes, it puts obstacles in my way, but I can overcome those obstacles. I really think accepting hidden disability, I think that's something people struggle with, and it can be frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. And I left it up here because I wanted to make sure that you saw our audience member, Fran, just wants you to know that she thinks that you are awesome. And so a couple questions that I wanted to verify, or not verify, but just ask. So what is the youngest age that you will allow in your chat groups? And what is the oldest age at this point?
The youngest one is 10. Okay. 10, but I kind of would prefer a little bit 12. 12, 13, and then the oldest would be 18, I guess, 18, 19.
Okay. And then you had mentioned to me that you spoke, so you had two speaking engagements, the one in the past and one coming up that I wanted to talk about. So you spoke at the Hidden Disability Summit recently, and you have a TEDx. Is it TEDx or a TED Talk coming up in December?
TEDx talk.
Okay. So will you talk a little bit about both of those?
Yeah. The Hidden Disability Summit was, so over the summer, I spoke at the National Apraxia Kids Conference. That was hosted by Apraxia Kids. If you have Apraxia, definitely reach out to look them up. They are an amazing organization. Then, is that what you're talking about, the Hidden Disability Summit?
I thought you had told me that you had been... I wrote it down. Oh, the Disability Summit. Yeah. Okay. So maybe it wasn't the Hidden Disabilities.
Because last month I hosted a Hidden Disability Summit at my school, spreading awareness. On hidden disabilities. And I did a bake sale that had on each baker, there was a hidden disability on it. And it would be surprising to most people in my group. In my school, that majority of the hidden disabilities that were on the goods were actually over 95% of people had them in our school.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, one was this heart issue. And then I did a Kahoot on myths and facts about hidden disabilities. I did a simulation on... ADHD and what it was like to have dyslexia. And I had some of my friends who had ADHD and dyslexia speak about it. And so I'm really proud of them for walking up the courage.
Yes.
And then I hosted a mini apraxia walk that helped raise money for apraxia and learn. There was this awesome video about apraxia that was playing, and there was pamphlets, and they walked around the track, and then there was food and stuff.
That's always good.
And then there was this advisory activity that's talked about negative mindset, negative self-talk. Because with a hidden disability, there's always, I know for me, there's usually negative self-talk. And everyone has a negative, always has at one point in their life talk negatively to them. But how can we work on that? And then two, just imagining what could it be like for kids or classmates with hidden disabilities, and taking that moment to reflect and to just show them a little bit more compassion or patience. And then lastly, for the Hidden Disability Summit, I did a yoga session. That was amazing. Best yoga session I have ever had. And then this on December 2nd, I am going to be doing a TEDx talk, and that I am planning to talk about community and the importance of spreading awareness and just a little bit about my story.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that, because I know getting a TEDx is not an easy accomplishment, and especially you're doing fabulous here today, but it's just you and me. So speaking in front of, I don't know how many people might be present. Usually those are several hundred. So that takes a lot of courage and self-valuing. And so very, very cool that you are doing that. And to organize and lead a summit, again, as a senior in high school, I am just so impressed by all of the things that you have already accomplished in your life. And like I said, I anticipate amazing things from you going forward, knowing that you have the foundation that you have. Now, I don't know if you saw it, but I did put up the Apraxia Kids website. I'm just going to pop it up there again. And it is just www.apraxia, which is APRAXIA-kids.org. Absolutely check them out, see what kinds of information you can get, what kinds of activities they might have going on, or I'm sure it's a plethora of information. We have about anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes left, and I wanted to know, you had mentioned that sometimes you have done talks on because of the writing piece. And so you've talked with parents and given them some suggestions of things that you have done. Would you mind sharing a few suggestions that if anyone is watching and they know someone or they have a student who they think may have apraxia or childhood apraxia of speech, that it might be able to help them?
Yes. So the first tool I use is Grammarly. That is an amazing tool to help. But because one, it also depends your education. My school district didn't really go into grammar. And over top with my apraxia, yeah, it was definitely hard to understand grammar, sort of. I understand grammar now. I know how to work that, but that has helped me. And it's really a nice tool. And then I use the tool that I think helps me the best is Crowbot. There is definitely a lot of controversy on this. I'm right now in a controversial little battle with my school. That's cool. So for me, it's really hard to get my thoughts on thoughts. And so to help me organize my thoughts, I put like what my original sentence into Crowbot, and it can just like, there's this thing called simplifying it, because I am an oversimplifying person.
Okay.
If you have noticed. And so it helps me simplify and get a clear thought of what to say. And then once I get that, I write down. It helps me write down what I want to say. However, because now of ChatGPT, it can be technically called AI, because at that, never knew about AI, really. Mm-hmm. It's not like copying, writing a whole essay and stuff, but it is a accommodation that I have right now, but we don't know, because is it technically AI? Is it, how do I, it depends on how you use it. For me, that really helps really organizing my thoughts. And if you do it the ethical right, it helps.
Have you ever used a scribe? So I don't know if that would make it harder or easier for you to speak out your thoughts and someone else write them down, or for you to maybe record what you're thinking and then go back and sort of organize the recording.
I hate listening to myself on recording. I don't think that would work. I don't know why, I just despise it. But a scribe, I know people with apraxia, they do have scribes. I guess my mom could have been technically my scribe. Well, she definitely was my scribe when I was younger. I told her what I wanted to say, and she helped me write it out and stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, my mom was the biggest, has always been the biggest tool for me.
Sure. As moms are, and dads, but more so moms, when it comes to their child's education, it just seems like moms are more involved in that sort of thing than dads are. And I'm not sure why that is. It just seems to be the case most of the time. So did you have an IEP going through school?
Yes.
Okay. I presumed so, because you were talking about different accommodations, but some place, you know, you might have just had a 504 in order to get some of those accommodations.
Yeah, I have a 504 right now. I cannot list you the accommodations I have. That was really long, but my mom's goal was always to chunk down the accommodations.
Awesome.
But going to college, I've been getting reevaluated. Me personally, no one's telling me I have to get reevaluated, but understanding my what my Bible for really does, making sure I have the best accommodations for me for college. So that's also been interesting too.
Yeah, I'm sure to get those kind of test results and you know, see how a standardized test says you might be or do on a certain thing. I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing necessarily, but and so yeah, that's so do you know what college, because you've already talked about the fact that you're not going to see your mom every day. So I'm imagining that you're moving away to a college, not going to something local.
I do not know what college I am going to yet.
Oh, okay.
Early applications were in due November 1st. I have gotten acceptances and some nice scholarships.
Congratulations.
Thanks. But I'm waiting for R to come in.
Sure.
And same.
Gotcha. But you're anticipating that you will move away to and live on college at a college campus.
Yeah, that's the goal. Yeah.
As it is with many people your age, they want to move out of the house for a while and taste some independence, complete independence. So I don't doubt that you will be successful. There will be hurdles, as there are for all college freshmen being out on their own for the first time, but you are used to facing challenges and used to figuring out ways to overcome those challenges. And so hopefully it'll be an easier process for you. And I'm sure there'll be lots of planning ahead of time and figuring some things out. So Alina, it's almost time to go. And I just want to give you one last opportunity. You have done a beautiful job sharing and expressing all the things about your life and what you're doing and have done. And then we haven't even really covered all of them. Cause I, again, was reading some other information about you and in your bio about all the different things that you have done. This particular area is the one that is most interesting to me, but is there anything else that you want to say before we head out of here?
Thank you so much for this opportunity. See, it was great speaking here today. And if you would like to support Young Able Voices, definitely follow their Instagram or Facebook account. That would be really appreciative. And just remember that all of our futures are bright. So.
Very nice. I love it. All right. Well, thank you again for joining me today. Next week, I will have Terry Tucker, and he was postponed from an earlier scheduling appointment. So hopefully I don't have to postpone him again, and we can be together next week and he can share about his journey and what he is doing with his life and how he is busting through limits. Thank you all very much. Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelley Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelley Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelley Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shelleykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shelleykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.